This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Senate Transportation will come to order. Want to welcome everybody that is online. Would ask everybody to check your phones, make sure that they're on the off position or vibrate. And now we'll ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Senators Boland.
Here.
Curd. Russell. Solano.
Here.
Frerichs.
Here.
Stalzer.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
There is a quorum.
We do have quorum. The minutes, has anybody read them? And
seconded.
Senator Solano has moved to approve the minutes. Senator Frerichs has seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And they have been approved. And pages. We've got some, well, we've got one page anyway. Can we, do we have two? We do have two. If we can have you introduce yourselves and tell us where you're going and some dreams in life. Up to the microphone. Yep. And hit it and it will turn green. And then you can go ahead and tell us all about yourself.
All right, I'm Kylan Olson. I'm from Wabe, and I plan on going to into psychology to be a counselor, and I'm a junior, so I don't know which college I'm going to yet.
Hi, my name is Gracie Jones. I'm from Pierre, and I'm planning on attending Colorado University at Boulder, and I'm planning to major in physics.
For internet listeners, we do have a special. Senator Boland, would you like to have your shadow to tell us a little about her and then have her introduce herself?
I have a shadow here for the FCCLA program, and if you can, why don't you just go right over there, and she's with me today.
Hi, I'm Rachel Warrior, and I'm from Alcester Hudson. I'm going to major in psychology, and I want to be a counselor as well at USF in Sioux Falls. I'm a senior.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Senator Russell.
Mr. Chairman, I also just met my shadow for the day as I just walked into the Capitol this morning. It's Ellie Moon from Wall, and if you'd introduce yourself, we'd appreciate it.
I'm Ellie Moon. I'm a freshman at SDSU, and I'm currently majoring in animal science.
Welcome. Senator Frerichs.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a fun day for me. I was involved in these CTSO organizations anyways, and so it's fun to have them here. But Olivia Heineke from Sisseton is here, and if you would just say hello, please. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Olivia Heineke from Sisseton. I'm with FBLA, which is Future Business Leaders of America, and I'm planning on going to Butler University in Indianapolis for art and design and a minor in neuroscience with pre-med.
And, wow. I'll make sure that I try to, with this many psychologists in the room, watch myself.
may want to defer till Monday.
yes, we may have to. Excellent idea. All handouts for the pages, make sure that they're done behind us, and make sure everybody is now signed in and your badges are showing. And with that, we will bring to the top of our docket HB 1008 to revise certain provisions that authorize the Secretary of Transportation to provide for temporary speed limits on the state highways in the interest of highway safety due to varying weather, road, and other conditions. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. Joel Jont, Deputy Secretary, Department of Transportation, and I'd like to introduce the bill and ask for your support. So currently, state law which is defined under South Dakota Codified Law 3225-7, gives the Transportation Commission the authority to set speed limits on state highways. South Dakota Codified Law 3225-19.1 gives the Secretary of Transportation the authority to set temporary speed limits on state highways in work zones. The authority granted to the Secretary of Transportation is limited only to work zones on a specific section of road. And frequently, there are times when safe and reasonable speed limit is less than the maximum authorized speed limit as set by the Transportation Commission. Due to road work or road conditions, such as during a weather storm. In these situations, the immediate speed limit change is warranted for a limited time. When conditions return to normal, the original speed limit would be reestablished, and this is what we call a variable speed limit. Currently, statutes require that any reduction, temporary reduction in speed limits, other than temporary construction reductions, must go through the Transportation Commission. This does not allow for timely temporary reductions of speed when necessary for safe, reasonable, due to those changing environmental and weather conditions. So there's a number of states out there that currently use variable speed limits. They include Oregon, Utah, Colorado, and our neighbor to the west, Wyoming. And they are using them very successfully. Wyoming has experienced the following benefits in their variable speed limit locations. A reduction in crashes by one half. They experience a reduction in road closures, so they're able to keep the road open more than a third than what they would typically have without those. And this then provides mobility for travelers in times of those adverse weathers and keeps the road open, as I stated earlier. They can reduce the traffic speeds down to a safer level. And they also see the variability of speeds. So as traffic is traveling, they normally drive at a uniform speed. When you have adverse weather, you see people still traveling at the maximum speed and people start to slow down. So that's the variability. And that's what really causes the crashes. And so if we can keep that uniform, that would help reduce those crashes. Normal speeds can then be quickly restored when the conditions improved. And there's also an overall reduction in road user delay and operating costs. So this bill would modify and allow the Secretary of Transportation the ability to set temporary reduced speed limits on interstate highways based on traffic, weather, road surface condition, and other road conditions to help establish those changes in speed limits. By using these inputs, we are going to be able to match the speed with the road condition. These would be typically set for a limited time period and then would be set back to the original defined speed limit when the condition returns to normal. Drivers would be notified in the change in speed limit based on installing digital electronic signs that would be installed in place of the existing speed limit signs that are out there today. This proposed legislation does not grant the Secretary of Transportation to declare statewide or countywide maximum speed limits, but grants authority to declare maximum reduced speed limits for public safety in localized geographical locations and under certain conditions. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, ask for your support and would stand down for questions, as I believe you have other folks that would like to testify.
Thank you. Other proponents of HB 1008, other proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Trevor Jones with the Department of Public Safety, and we stand in support of House Bill 1008. We commend DOT on bringing the bill forward. It's a great way to keep our travelers safe. As I say, if you don't like the weather in South Dakota, wait 10 minutes. This is a good way to address that changing weather, whether it be in the spring, summer, or fall. It's a great collaboration with our friends at DOT, and we would urge your favorable support for 1008.
Thank you. Other proponents of HB 1008? Proponents of HB 1008? Seeing none. Opponents of HB 1008? Opponents? Last call for opponents of HB 1008? Seeing none. We'll move on then to committee questions. Questions from the committee. Senator Bowen.
Yeah, thank you. Question for Mr. Junt. Mr. Junt, what is any idea? You talked about having installing like digital speed limit signs, something like that. What would be the approximate cost of those? How many would there be? And who would be? Where would that? Where would those resources come from to pay for that?
Mr. Chairman, the electronic digital electronic signs, as I stated earlier, would be replacing those signs that we have out there right now. Currently, we're looking at two locations, from Sturgis to Tilford out in the Hills area, and then from Brookings south to the Ward exit. So both of those are about 10-mile sections. Then there would not only be the electronic signs that would be installed, but we would also install a few more monitoring sensors that we have out there for pavement and for traffic. And then for each one of those two locations, for both of those locations, we're looking at approximately $1.2 million. We have submitted in a grant for these two locations based on the fact this is an innovation that the South Dakota is using. That grant provides for that opportunity. We have not heard the results on that yet, but we're hoping that that would come in. And if that grant does not come in, we would still be utilizing our federal safety dollars on these locations because, again, based on the cost, there is a cost to this. You're looking at locations where you're having a higher crash rate than other locations, and so that's why those two locations were picked. So in the reality is, if you can reduce crashes, keep your roads open longer, and allow travelers and those user costs, those would offset the cost of this expense to install these devices, and this technology would then be favorable from a benefit-cost ratio.
Just follow up,
please.
Thank you. And I don't think would this be money that would come from the federal government through their highway funding?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Yes, that would be through our federal funds that we receive from the Federal Highway Administration.
Any other questions from the committee? Senator Solano? Senator Russell?
I'm curious about at full implementation, the way in which you perceive this to be over the next number of years. Have you aggregated the cost that you anticipate that this would entail? Because I think we're talking about two specific locations of 10 miles each that would be $1.2 million. So that's the first part of my question. And to make it a compound question, I'm curious about the funding source. If you do not receive the grant, is that taking funds away from other projects or other endeavors that the department has? Would it cause a priority issue? What are we displacing by using $1.2 million if you don't get a grant for it?
Please.
Mr. Chairman, so maybe a little background on the funds that the department receives, and what we're talking about is federal dollars through normal formula funds. People typically look at that as one pot, and in reality, we have numerous different pots within that. One of those pots is a safety program, and so to be able to use those safety funds, we have to show that there is a benefit cost, that the dollars that we're going to spend on that installation is going to reduce crashes, reduce fatalities, and so when we work with Federal Highway Administration, those are things that we work with them on to identify where are these locations. So from what your question was relative, what are we going to displace? Again, it's going to be one of those tools in our toolbox so that we can identify these locations. And this may rise to the top as far as a safety location due to the fact that it has a greater benefit cost ratio than some other treatment that we may have utilized down the road. So it all just kind of goes into the pool as far as what locations are worthwhile to spend our safety funds on. And so I don't believe that we would be replacing anything, and in essence it would help us to use the right treatment and then to use those dollars very wisely. Hopefully that answers your first question, Senator. Your your second question. Your first question was the aggregate total amount. So these two locations, again, were identified based on the fact they have higher crash rates in the wintertime situations. And so we'll have to, this is new to us, so the thought is let's start with these two locations, see how it performs, see how it works for us, and then if it works well, then we'd be identifying other locations. But I don't have for you, Senator, that we've got this grandiose plan that these are the first two, and then we got 10 other ones. That's not where we're at right now. We're looking at these two locations and just seeing how this works for us.
Senator Solano.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you'd stated that in Wyoming, they'd seen a 50% reduction, I think, in crashes and then a decrease in road closures. The question is, as it relates to Wyoming, do you know how many miles that they've covered under their electronic signs that would make up that 50% reduction?
Mr. Chair, I believe they have 8 different locations for 128 miles. And just recently, I printed that off but didn't bring it, sorry. They just put a new section on and that was non-interstate. And so, again, it's been very favorable for them, and they have seen a great benefit by using this.
Thank you. Another question? Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm curious as it relates to, and maybe Wyoming has done this or not, but is there a method that you envision as in terms of logging changes in speed limits on these sections so that there's a way of coming back to the legislature, to the commission, whoever it is, to be able to really identify, here's the frequency of changes, this is, you know, the span, how long does it change, those kinds of things so that there can be some real analysis done on the change.
Mr. Chair, that's a great question, and that's part of, if we receive this grant, that would be part of the requirements that we would have to not only track it, but also show the benefits and go through that entire request that you're asking for now. So our hope is that we're able to get this approved. And again, this will have to also be approved by a transportation commission because they are the entity that approves construction dollars to be spent. Get it installed, come back to you. I think with great things tell you how wonderful this is and that the dollars were spent wisely and that it was a great benefit for the citizens and the travelers of the state.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You talked about how the different buckets as these federal funds come in and that this is specifically safety dollars that this would come from. As it relates to, can you give us some examples of other kinds of projects where these safety dollars have been used and may give us some context as to what this would be competing with?
Mr. Chair, so I might have to phone a friend if it gets too deep in here, but one treatment that we've done in the past number of years is where we have some road surfaces that do not have the friction factor that we need relative to maintaining safe travel. We identified those locations where we were having a lot of runoff the road locations. And so, again, another treatment was to put what we call a high friction surface treatment on those sections. And then those were those safety funds were spent. And they were short sections, just like we're talking about here. And then we monitored the results on that, and that showed that that treatment was very successful. I don't have the exact number of crashes that reduced from before to after, but it was very significant, very much, I think, in the neighborhood of over half of the crashes. So those are treatments that we have, again, in our toolbox that we're able to use based on whatever the situation is and to fix those things and help us to reduce those crashes.
I guess I've got one last one. The verbiage that you're going to be placing on this, is able to put on a lot of verbiage or just slow down due to slippery road conditions?
Mr. Chair, the signs themselves are very simple. Speed limit, and then electronically digitized would be that numeric number, 55, 75, whatever. And these two locations where we're looking at, we also have dynamic message boards, the big boards along the highway that would also then, we would be displaying that speed reduced from Sturgis to Tilford 2 miles or 10 miles ahead or whatever that might be. And so that would be what we'd be using to warn people that you have a reduction in speed coming up, and then once it's off, then that goes off the board and you're back to normal again.
Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, action. Or committee conversation. Sorry, getting excited. Okay. Action then from the committee.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Solano.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move to pass House Bill 1008.
Seconded.
Senator Solano has moved to pass. Senator Bolin has seconded HB 1008. Any comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, this, quite frankly, has been a bill that I started out in favor, and then I started losing favor with it as questions come up. And through the committee hearing process, I feel like I'm moved back to favor of this. I think it's important to know where these funds are coming from, and I think that was helpful for me because I was starting to see concerns come in from constituents as it related to, hey, we're going to spend this $1 million. Where's this money coming from? So that was helpful. And I think the limited nature of what this is to be done, and I think that if this goes on and happens and these electronic speed zones are created, then I think it'll be incumbent upon us as a legislature to monitor that. And I personally will be looking for the information to come back from the logging to show frequency, duration, and then, how are we doing as it relates to crash statistics and road closure statistics in those sections of highway. Again, I think this is it's a good start. We've seen clearly other states that have done this that have found that this has impacted safety. And so I would ask for your support.
Any other comments on the do pass motion? Senator Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first question that I had, of course, had to do with, what kind of cost would be associated with it. As I drive the interstates of South Dakota and Wyoming, et cetera, I see a number of these signs to slow down when you're coming into a certain area. I did appreciate the clarification as it related to where the funds would be coming from, and the degree, a little bit of the information as to what funds may or may not be displaced. I didn't get a good sense, and I probably should have asked a few more questions about, the cost effectiveness of how many miles could be treated under the other, what they're currently using those funds for. And I wasn't quick enough to ask that question. But my general feeling is that this is, of course, a little bit broader than we're committing ourselves to a program that may be expanded greatly in the future. And yes, our idea at this point is to use federal funds, which is usually our idea. We always want to use somebody else's money for these types of programs, anything that's new. But from my perspective also is controlling the, I don't know if this would be controlled at Sturgis or if it would be controlled out of Pier, what the mechanism would be for reducing the speed limit, giving the Department of Transportation the authority. This doesn't, of course, segment it to just those two areas. This bill is much broader. We're committing ourselves to a much more long-term program here. And my I know that there are, if you in fact have someone who's traveling over the road conditions, of course they can be written by Highway Patrol for doing such a thing. Either, I think there's even something called overdriving the road conditions, but there certainly is careless driving also. And I just don't know that we want to give this kind of, we want to buy into a program that we really don't know. I mean, long term, what the intention really is as to how broad this may or may not be. So I'm going to, I can tell where it's going, but I think that I'm going to side on the side of caution here until I have a little bit more information as to what are we really thinking the cost is going to be on this thing, and is it an effective spending of money versus the other areas where we could be spending this limited amount of resources. But I am happy that we're not going to be spending our hard-earned state money on this, at least for the time being. So with that, I thank you for your patience.
Any other comments on the do-pass motion? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Senators Boland?
Aye.
Curd?
No.
Russell?
No.
Solano?
Aye.
Frerix is excused. Stalzer?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
4-2.
The questions that the good senator raised, can you get us a list? As it's my eye, as you can tell with the hesitation, I would like to have that information and take it to the floor for a debate. Thank you. All right, HB 1008 has got the due pass on it. It's going to the floor. And let's move on now to House Bill HB 1113. And that is to revise certain provisions regarding the vehicles required to stop at state weighing stations. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Representative Mary Duval from District 24, and with your indulgence, may I have 3 seconds to introduce my FBLA shadow this morning?
Please.
Thank you. Emily Kist is a senior here at Riggs High School, and she's spending the morning learning about a lot of things she never knew legislators discussed. So, thank you. HB 1113 is an act to alleviate a little bit of government regulation, to alleviate maybe a little congestion at some of the way stations and ports of entry, and to take care of an unintended consequence of some state law. This came from the Highway Patrol, and they suggested that right now a lot of the bigger pickups or, someone pulling a stock trailer or someone are unintentionally breaking the law as far as needing to stop at a weigh station. And frankly, they would rather not make criminals out of South Dakota drivers who are, just minding their own business. So before I get myself in any deeper, I'm going to turn it over to Captain Browers, who came to me with this idea, and I'm also going to volunteer that he might be a really good one to answer any questions you might have. And with that, I would ask for your support on this bill. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I appreciate Representative Duval bringing this bill forward. A little bit of background on it. I used to own an F-350 pickup with a diesel engine in it. Got a good deal on it, and I had a camper, and it towed it wonderfully. But when I went to the dump to take home to take some household trash to the dump that wouldn't fit in the dumpster, you, of course, weigh, and you pay by the tonnage that you leave at the dump. And when I left, I went in to pay and I got my scale ticket, and then it said I weighed 8,400 pounds. And being aware of most of the motor carrier laws in the state. I realized I technically violated the statute every time I drove by a scale or weigh station. Current law requires anything over 8,000 pounds to stop at these scale houses, temporary truck checks, and things like that. Well, with modern pickups becoming much more heavier, they're bigger, they're more heavy duty, and they're becoming much more popular. If you take notice when you leave today, just in the parking lot itself, there are several of the pickups that are in the parking lot that would be required to stop at a weigh station according to current state law. Many of these pickups are operated commercially. Many of them are not. The popularity of a diesel pickup is only growing. If you look around as traffic and look for them, they're quite popular. Most are being used to tow a recreational vehicle, tow snowmobiles to the Black Hills, to tow four-wheelers somewhere in pursuit of recreational-type activities. This isn't what the Highway Patrol intends to use our checkpoints for, our way stations. These vehicles, many are not being operated commercially, and they're very, very, very unlikely to be overweight. Increasing it from 8 to 10,000 pounds would match what the majority of states do. Other states do. It brings that it matches that federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration rules, that threshold that where interstate vehicles have to meet before they're subject to those rules. It matches that up from which is at 10,000 pounds gross vehicle weight rating. This makes it very clear. The statute, the old one wasn't clear, but we haven't been stopping recreational vehicles. It's right on the signs of our permanent facilities, or RVs are excluded. This solidifies that in state law. And it just makes it, it prevents operators of these bigger pickups from unknowingly committing this Class 2 misdemeanor. And just to note also, we haven't been chasing down just a one-ton diesel pickup as it drives by the port of entry. If it's obviously not a commercial vehicle, we're not sending a trooper over there to stop them, to force them to come back around. This is a cleanup. We don't intend to regulate those personally used vehicles, and we want those folks to keep on driving by. I'd be happy to stay around for any questions if you have them. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Other proponents of HB 1113. Other proponents of HB 1113. Seeing no other proponents, opponents of HB 1113. Opponents. And last call for opponents of HB 1113. Seeing none, move on to committee questions. Senator Boland.
I do have one question for Captain Brewers. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just you said that this brought us into similar standards with other states. Can you just tell us, do you have any specific information about the six states that border South Dakota?
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
I surveyed a handful of those this fall. And of the six states that surround it, I believe I talked to three specifically on this issue, and all three were at 10,000 pounds.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the committee? All right. We will shut that down and move on to committee discussion. Discussion from the committee. Excellent. We got great guys. It's these psychologists in here that's doing this. All right. Committee action. Senator Stalzer.
Yes, I move do pass.
Second. Senator Stalzer has moved do pass. Senator Russell has seconded. Senator Stalzer, any comments?
Just don't want to make a criminal of my son if he comes back pheasant hunting.
Any other comments? Seeing no other comments, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Senators Boland.
Aye.
Curd? Russell?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Ferex is excused. Stalzer?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
We have a do pass motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stalzer.
Move consent.
All those in favor of the consent motion, say aye.
Aye.
Who second?
I did.
And so HB 113 is going to go to the floor on the consent calendar. And that concludes our bill load for today. Before you leave, make sure that we get the talking points up here. I'm going to have to apologize to the committee again. I hate to cause this trepidation for Monday, but we're going to have to say no meeting Monday. I know. I just please, we do have psychologists here if you do need intervention. we'll be able to, one of our folks coming in wasn't able to come here, and instead of having one bill, we'll just slide everything over to Wednesday's docket. So, with that, can we get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Senator Boland has moved to adjourn. Senator Solano has seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.